Good evening. Go ahead and turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. When we think about living on this earth, there are many ties that bind mankind together. And we can name quite a good number of them. So many things that bond us together. So many things that make us one, that help us to be one. But in particular, what I want to talk about real quick tonight is friendship. I want to talk about friendship. If we're going to Vine's Expository Dictionary, friendship is used in different terms as a companion, or a comrade, or a partner. Dictionary.com defines friend as a person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection. So what I want to talk about tonight is how we can be friends. But more than that, how we can find the greatest friends. You see? And I know that there are a good number of other relationships that we can discuss. We can discuss the relationship between God and man. Or the parent and child relationship. Or the teacher and student relationship. Or the master and the servant. But tonight we'll focus on this particular relationship that God himself has built and cultivated, and that is friendship. When I first start thinking about friendship, and I'm thinking about a godly friendship, the first thing, of course, I turn to is the Bible. And the Bible, when we're looking through the Old Testament and the New Testament, is filled with these awesome relationships between two people, these friendships that people have. One of the first ones I think about is between David and Jonathan. David and Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of Saul, the son of King Saul. And for some reason, these two men had a very kindred spirit. And it was said that they were one in spirit. But more importantly than that, when I'm thinking about the friendships in the Bible, I think about one who was called the friend of God. And his name is Abraham. I told you to turn to James chapter 2. Will you start reading with me? In verse 23, it says, the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. A friend of God. I remember reading that for the first time and thinking, that is awesome. That is totally amazing. How can I be a friend of God? How in the world can anybody be a friend of God? And here, one of the reasons is given to us. It says his faith in him was counted as righteousness. He believed God. And then he has this most awesome thing attributed to him, a friend of God, a companion, a comrade, a partner, someone who is sharing and who knows each other, but someone who is sharing in a mutual affection. That is awesome to behold. So when I think about that, I'm thinking about friends, I'm thinking about friendship, and the next thing that comes to my mind, well, what do friends do? You see, I would love to be a friend of God, and I know many of you here, if not all of you, would also want to be a friend of God. But in order to do that, we have to think about what friends do, first of all. Well, the first thing is, friends engage in companionship. Friends are around each other. See? It'd be hard to find somebody or to call somebody a friend if they're not around so much. Though this is where we start thinking about Facebook or maybe other social medias, right? We have all of these friends on Facebook. But someone really truly can't be a friend, a good friend. Or it's hard to be a good friend if they're not in person. Friends share in companionship. They are companions. They are together. The second thing that friends do is that they give you a sense of belonging. They help you to feel that you belong with them, with someone or with something. That's another awesome thing that friends do. They give you this sense of belonging. The third thing is that they tell you the truth. Turn with me to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 26 says, whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. There are different versions of that. One of them says, whoever gives an honest answer is a true friend. A true friend tells you the truth. And also a true friend knows that when you tell the truth, there is a risk that people aren't going to believe it. But more than that, there is a risk that people are going to see you as an enemy. In fact, Paul deals with this in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And in verse 16, he says, have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? Here, Paul is dealing with these Galatians, some Galatians who are becoming false teachers, trying to bring back in the old law. And he says about them, he says, you shouldn't be listening to these people. Well, what has caused you to go astray? And then he says, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Even though there's a huge risk in telling the truth, a true friend tells you the truth. And I think about the prophets of old who are constantly, you know, being bombarded by their people. They go to their people and they say, this is what the Lord says. They go to their people. They say, this is what the Lord wants you to do. You're failing here. You need a change. And how many times do they go to their people and they shun them? They reject them. But you see, the prophets were a true friend to the people because they were telling them the truth. But not only that, a true friend is there. They're present. And we talked about this before in companionship. But here it gives the idea of a friend being there whenever you're in trouble. A friend is present when wrongdoings are going on. A friend is present when you're struggling. They're going to be there. You see, friends stick together. And I want you to ask Rick Pender about this because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. But friends stick together like a hair in a biscuit. You see, seriously, ask Rick. He knows exactly what I'm saying. That's what friends do. They stick together no matter what because they're seeking your good. And lastly, friends make sacrifices. It may be their time. It may be their other resources, their money. They'll give you their car, anything. But friends make sacrifices. And though friends are a very important thing in our lives, we all love to have friends and to engage in their fellowship. But there are some difficulties that come with companions and finding them. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. One of the first difficulties or one of the main difficulties that we'll have when it comes with our companions, when it comes to finding people, is that we may choose the wrong ones. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Is that true? Yes. We all know that to be true. Which is why we all try to find good friends, right? Which is why we all try to be a good friend ourselves. You see, because if we're the ones who are bad company, guess whose morals we're ruining? You see, this lesson is not only about finding true friends and recognizing them, but making sure that we're going to be a good friend. Making sure that if we find ourselves in that role, we're going to do it correctly. And so a difficulty lies in choosing the wrong ones. So we need to be careful. We have to watch out who our friends are. Another difficulty is that some of the friends that we choose might not be our friends at all, but instead enablers. Now, why do I say that? Sometimes you'll see people enabling you, you know, letting you do whatever, but they're not really your friend. Or they're not really trying to stop you, you see. I'll give you one example. While I was teaching a class, ironically, on James chapter 3, about taming the tongue, I stood up there, and as I'm going through my class, we get to the topic of hypocrisy. right? But I don't say hypocrisy. I say hypocrisy. I say it once, then I say it again. I stop myself. I'm thinking, that doesn't sound right. So I ask my audience, am I saying that correctly? I'm like, is hypocrisy right? And I pause maybe for like 3 seconds. You know what happens? Nothing. It's silence. Nobody says a thing. And guess what? I must have said hypocrisy maybe 15 more times in that lesson. Okay? They enabled me. Even though I asked for help, I said, hey, am I in the right here? Nothing. And I know that's not an extreme example, but it's the same thing. If people are just going to stand back and let you mess up, how can we call them our friends? But you see that even more so online, if you've been online at all. And what I've seen constantly, is somebody will get on there and they may be calling out for help. They may be asking their friends on Facebook, am I wrong in this? Am I wrong to go out here and engage in worldliness? But they take it a step further. You see, not only do they enable a person by stepping back and not saying a thing, but they'll go in there and they'll say the wrong thing. And they'll say, you're okay. Oh, no, you shouldn't judge your actions. No, nobody else should judge you for that either. God isn't going to judge you for that. So they've taken a step farther than enabling someone. They sit back and they do nothing. And so we need to ask ourselves, and we need to ask these people that we're around, are they my friends? Friends do not enable unrighteous things. So if you see somebody who is doing something wrong, tell them and remind them. One of the main things that somebody will say is, oh, you just want me to be like you. But they cannot see how you are trying to help them. So when we do that, we need to be tactful. We need to be mindful. But we have to do it. Because true friends will tell you the truth. Because friends do not enable unrighteousness. And some other difficulties that we'll have with our companions, finding them, is times of testing. I haven't had a single relationship or a single friendship where that friendship wasn't tested by something. And there are a good number of things that we can talk about. Someone might say the wrong thing. Proverbs 16, verse 28 says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. A whisperer separates close friends. If you got somebody going out behind your back saying all of these things, and then they meet one another and they say, hey, you've been saying this, that friendship is ruined. That trust is lost. There is dishonesty there. Friendship is tested. So we watch what we say. Friendships can also be tested when you get skipped multiple times when you're playing phase 10. Okay? And that'll do more than test your friendship. That'll test your patience, something fierce, let me tell you. And I said I wasn't going to mention any names, but they're sitting in this area, so you can sort of figure it out. But seriously, our friendships are tested. Someone might do the wrong thing. Someone might say the wrong thing. And do the wrong thing. But what happens when they do? Do we leave? Do we say that's enough? Do we give up on them? Do we not try to fix the situation? If we're trying to be a good friend, not only to this person here, what are we going to do? It is our hope that we become peacemakers. And we all know that that's hard to do, especially when we're living in a world that seems to want anything and everything but peace. But we become peacemakers. We humble ourselves. And we do what is right. Now, of course, I'm saying all of this because it has a point. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about friendship to bring it all to this one thing. That the greatest friend is found in Jesus the Christ. The greatest friend that anyone can have is found in Jesus the Christ. How do we know this? Companionship. He exercised his companionship when he called his 12 disciples. He had his 12 disciples with him through everything, all of the things that they went through. And not only that, but he promises us the same thing. Companionship, togetherness, you see. Christ is our example and an awesome friendship being the greatest companion. Second, he gives us this sense of belonging. When he says to his disciples, people will know that you are my disciples when you love one another, he gives them then that sense of belonging. My disciples. He does not say people will know that you are God's disciples. People will know that you are righteousness disciples. He says people will know you are my disciples. You belong to me when you love one another. Thirdly, Jesus is the greatest friend because he tells us the truth. Now, this is very easy for him because in John 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You see, Jesus is not an enabler. If you're wrong, he's going to tell you. He tells you the truth. And he tells us the truth because he cares about us, because he loves us. Because that's what friends do, you see. And if we're remembering him as the greatest friend that a person can ever have, all he's going to ever do is tell us the truth. All he's ever going to do is seek our good. And so we need to remember that. Jesus is the greatest friend because he is here, in the sense that he is present even now. Matthew 18, verse 20 says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. There I am also, he says. Jesus is present with us even now. He's also present with us in our long suffering. The Hebrew writer in chapter 13, verse 5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So it doesn't matter whatever position you find yourself in, poor, rich. Maybe you have a broken heart. Maybe you have a full heart. It doesn't matter. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Now, that's a true friend there. And lastly, our friend, Jesus the Christ, makes sacrifices. And we understand this by John 15, verse 13, where he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, and that someone laid down his life for his friends. And we see that actualized. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Because God laid down his life for his friends. For you, for me, for everyone. And he is calling us all to engage in that relationship. And what's so awesome to think about this is that he left heaven. And you know that place we're all seeking to go to? That place of ultimate joy and peace and love? That place where we're all living our lives to make sure that we have a chance to be there. Well, he left that place to come down here just to make sure that you and I have a chance to be there. Now, that's love. That's a true friend. He has done everything he can to make sure that he's given us the best. And after looking at the kind of friend that Jesus is, we are left with only one question. How do we become his friend? You know, after looking at Abraham and reading that short passage there in James chapter 2, I thought it was impossible to become a friend of God. When you're going through Abraham's life, do you see all of the things that he has to go through? Do you see all of the things that he has to practice and engage in? And at the end of his life, he was called a friend of God. But Jesus reveals that it is totally possible to be his friend. In John 15, verse 14, what does he say? You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't know about you, but I've never had a friendship. I've never known a person who didn't have conditions, who didn't say, this is how far you can go. This is what you need to do if you are my friend. And here Jesus gives us what we need to do. If you want to be his friend, we must do what he has commanded us to do. So to be God's friend, we need to follow what he says. We need to take the initiative of Abraham. have faith in God, and do exactly as he commanded. That's how we become the friends of God. And though God has indeed sought to be our friend, it shouldn't surprise us, because he has taken it upon himself to fill every role, or to fill a role in every personal relationship that man has. And we've already mentioned before the teacher and student, the parent and child. He takes a part in the husband and wife relationship. So it should not surprise us. It is not impossible, and it is not wrong to see God as your friend, because he himself has taken it upon himself to fill that role for you, so that we can better understand who he is, so that we can recognize him. And I tell you, there is no other deity, there is no other anything that wants to fill all of these roles so perfectly, all of these personal relationship roles, other than the God that we have chosen to serve. And though indeed we can call him our friend, this relationship is not like any others, and it shouldn't be taken lightly. He's not just some parent. He's not just some teacher. He's not just some friend. But he is the most greatest friend that any person can ever have. And so we treat that relationship with great care and with humility. So tonight, the invitation is for those who are in search of the greatest friend, a companion, a comrade, the best that you can ever have, one that will never leave you, one that will always be there, and one who has sacrificed so much just to make sure that you have that chance to partake in that relationship as well. And his name is Jesus the Christ. If you are wanting to be his friend, there are a few things that you have to do. You remember, as we read the words of Jesus before, you are my friends if you do what I command you. What does he command? Indeed, a person has to believe in who he is. A person has to repent from their sins, and they need to be baptized for the remission of those sins. And then you walk in newness of life. You have a new start, a new relationship, a new friendship now to cultivate and to build, not with just anyone, but with the greatest friend that a person can ever have, and that is God himself. Or perhaps you're here tonight and you've been struggling. Perhaps you've been struggling with some of the things we've talked about before, and not being the type of person that you need to be. Maybe you've been the bad example. Well, you can fix that tonight. And you can have your relationship with God renewed. A renewed friendship. A renewed life.